This is Tajay's Therapeutic Talks, and I still have my guest, Tanya Tony, here. And we are going to be having another therapeutic conversation. And make sure you like, share, comment, subscribe. And this is part two to the last episode we did.
Okay.
So today I wanted to talk a little bit about like motherhood, your motherhood journey and being a young parent, and kind of talk about that today.
Okay. So you want to take me back?
Take you back, yes. Okay. I want to take you back to what it was like when you first became a mom and what that journey was like.
Okay.
So a little background. When I was in school, my dissertation, or aka my applied clinical project, was about young parenthood and the challenges and experiences of young parents with getting resources and and getting on their path to success and what that was like. So that was like my applied clinical project. And that's always been a passion of mine, to work with young parents, because my parents were young parents. And I saw how successful they were and how hard they worked and everything they did to raise me. So that's just something that I've always been passionate about, is working with young parents and providing resources and
I guess the tools that they need to become successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, success is defined as you being in a place where you feel good about what you're doing, you know? And people think success is always about money, and it's not. For me, personally. It's about, you know, you see where you started and where you're going and being happy on that path. So when you were doing your applied clinical project, I remember when you defended your case. And when you finished defending, your professors knew exactly right away. They were like, we know exactly what this was about and where you came from. And I felt very honored that day, because they just kept complimenting me as a mother. And when you are a young mother and you get to that point where people see what you did, and that is just creating a good person. I think as a parent, that's all we hope for, is that our children become good people. And when you have your professors, you know, coming to me, and they wanted to talk to me during the defense at the end, I felt very, I was so proud. I couldn't feel more proud at that moment. And taking me back to the beginning, I would love to share that story, because people see the end results, but they don't know how we got there. Okay.
And one thing that stood out to me before we go back, you define success. And I remember recently you asked me that question of what success is to you.
Right.
And I like what you said about, I like how you defined it. And yeah, success is different for everybody.
So
like one person's vision of what success is not the same for the next person. So I like that you had your definition of it, definitely.
Right.
And so when you first found out that you were going to have a baby, what were your first thoughts?
Oh my goodness. I can remember the day like it was yesterday. I was at work. I was working in a pharmacy at that time. And I was on my lunch break, and I was feeling extremely nauseous. So I went and bought a pregnancy test and went to the bathroom and took the test on my lunch break. And back then, we didn't have cell phones or anything, so I had to run to the payphone, and I tried to call Daddy. And I said to him, I just took a pregnancy test. And he said, why? I said, because I was feeling nauseous. And he said, so what does it say? And I said, it says we're having a baby. He said, well, he said, right now? I said, no, in a couple of months, we're gonna have a baby. And his first response was, I'm about to have three children. And I was like, we'll talk about this when I get off of work. So that was that moment. And that the rest of the day at work, all I was doing was holding my stomach like, oh my goodness, I am about to be a mom. I was 19 years old. So it was something that I'll never forget.
Besides Daddy, who else were the first people you told?
My best friend.
What God mommy say?
She was like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? I was like, well, to be honest, your dad and I were in a rough space at that time. Mm-hmm. And he had just had twins, mm-hmm. your sisters. Mm-hmm. And they were just 3 months old. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't been together for a little while. And I guess that was part of the makeup. Mm-hmm. You know, we got back together and we just really got together. And here you are. Mm-hmm. So for Daddy, he had just became a young father, and he had twin girls, beautiful, the most beautiful twins in the world. Mm-hmm. I say that all the time. Mm-hmm. And now 3 months later, he's gonna have another baby. So we had a lot of difficult conversations. Mm-hmm. But I made a decision at that time where I wasn't sure if I was going to go along with the whole pregnancy because the timing was just not right. Mm-hmm. I was working. I was in college. Mm-hmm. He just had two children, and I was not sure. I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. I wasn't mentally prepared, financially prepared, but are we ever? Mm-hmm. But I got an interesting call. Then, of course, Grandma found out. And once you tell Grandma everything, everybody. Tell my mom when you're ready to tell people. I got
how did
a call.
Grandma react?
Grandma was in shock, uh-huh. but she was a young mom, so she understood. Uh-huh. And one of the things about my parents was I think at that time, uh-huh. a lot of people thought I did it on purpose. Uh-huh. And that wasn't the uh-huh. case at the time. I think it was God's plan. Uh-huh. And that's all I could say about that, because I was with your dad for 2.5 years and I never got pregnant. Uh-huh. And I didn't always practice safe sex. Uh-huh. And that at that moment, when I did become pregnant, it was I couldn't even explain what was different than mm-hmm. all the hundreds of times before. Mm-hmm. But Grandma was like, you know what? You do what's best for you. She didn't tell me not to do it, but she was excited in mm-hmm. her own way. Mm-hmm. And then I got a call from an aunt who I was in love with, and she said to me, you know what? You have your baby because you never know if you're going to get this chance or mm-hmm. opportunity again. Mm-hmm. And that resonated with me. And that's when I made the decision that no matter what, I'm going to go through with this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what happened when you first found out? What was, was there any excitement around it or not really?
Fear.
There was fear.
A lot of fear. Mm-hmm. I was excited that I was becoming a mother, but I was also afraid that I didn't know what was going to happen next. I mm-hmm. just knew that am I ready to raise someone else and bring them into the chaos of what I was going through personally? Because mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if I was going to be with Daddy mm-hmm. at that time. And he wasn't sure where he was going. He was just in a whirlwind at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, he was happy, but he was like a little overwhelmed. Because imagine going from no children to having three. Mm-hmm. And you guys are just a year apart. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of emotions. And we weren't really, at that time, I just broke up with him. Mm-hmm. So I was like, now, are we going to co-parent? Are we going to be together? It was a lot going on. Yeah. So, I just had to make it through this pregnancy. That was mm-hmm. the next step. I was like, I'm going to make it through this, and then mm-hmm. we'll figure it out mm-hmm. as we go along. But mm-hmm. your godmother was excited, and she mm-hmm. was my partner. She helped. If it wasn't for my best friend mm-hmm. at the time, I don't know if I would have made it through. Mm-hmm. She went to every doctor's appointment with me. She held my hand. She rubbed mm-hmm. my back. She was my mama's partner. So I didn't feel alone at all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was another part I was going to ask is who was part of your support system? Like, who was the person you talked to, and who were the people who were there for you?
Your godmother.
And
I had good friends. I actually gave you 4 godmothers because mm-hmm. I wanted all of them to be a part of my journey. Mm-hmm. You know, I was the first one out of my group of friends to mm-hmm. get pregnant. And so I wanted all of them to be a part of it and see what was going to happen. And they all stood up, and mm-hmm. they all stepped up. I had a great support system, Godmommy Felicia, Godmommy mm-hmm. Tanya, Simone, and Kim. Those were the girls. Those were my girls, and they stayed by my side the whole time. They mm-hmm. didn't make me feel like I made a mistake, and they did everything. I had everything I needed. They did a baby shower, mm-hmm. everything. They made everything okay.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop being my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're still here till this day.
I'm still friends with the same people.
They still show up and they still come for every event they support. So
yeah,
you pick some good friends.
I have some great friends.
Yeah. And what was your pregnancy journey like?
Well, during the beginning of the pregnancy, it was great. And then around 8 months, when I was 8 months pregnant, I went in for an appointment. Your godmother was there. And I had a sonogram done. And during the sonogram, they saw some complications. And I had to go to a specialist because they said that I had something called polyhydramnios, which I had excessive fluid. And at that time, they saw through the sonogram that there was a blockage in your intestine. So when I found that out, they sent me to the specialist. And when the diagnosis came out, you had something called duodenal atresia. And that, back then, that was a rare birth defect that happened one in every 50,000 births. And out of the 50,000 births, a lot of the children would have Down syndrome because the organs wouldn't develop. So at 19, I had to make a decision of getting an amniocentesis done. And I decided against it because I wasn't going to terminate the pregnancy. I was too far along. And I had to do a lot of praying because at that point, I knew that you were going to have surgery. They told me if you were born healthy, they would do surgery. But if you weren't, if you had Down syndrome, there were going to be a lot of conversations we need to have. I had to see a genetic counselor to see if it was something between you and your dad, me and your dad, or it's just something that happened. And that was just something that happened.
What advice would you give other parents that, you know, find out information about complications during the pregnancy? What advice would you give them?
That you have to be strong. You have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. I knew that when I went into labor, that night alone when my water broke, I had to go all the way to Nassau County Medical Center. And when we got to the hospital, they couldn't find your heartbeat. So I had an emergency C-section. And everything just was happening so fast. You know, you had to go into the ICU. They had to get your heart regulated. You were having seizures. You know, you were having seizures. I'm 19. I'm not sure where this is going. I'm praying that you're going to be okay. And they when you were born, you were that 1% that was lucky, or I'd say blessed, or I don't even know what the right word. It was just a good thing. You were that 1% that didn't have Down syndrome. You didn't have, you were going to be able to have the surgery. And they told me that you would have surgery as soon as possible. But because everything that was going on, we had to wait 4 days. So you actually had your surgery when you were 4 days old. And at that time, one of the things that I tell parents is that you have the scars to prove your journey, and those scars grew with you, you know, so you have your emotions about that. And I never told you your story completely till you were 18, because I never wanted you to use that as an excuse or make it hinder you from doing anything that any normal child can do. So that's a thing about parents that have children with a birth defect or something that affects them, that you have to try to have, you want your child to be normal, and you have to do certain things where you know you have to be careful, but you want them to have a normal childhood. And that's the challenges I think that parents face with that.
Definitely. I, you know, even though I had the scars and stuff, you know, I never felt like, you know, different or anything. So I like that you raised me where you didn't, you didn't let it define who I was, or like it, you know, I don't want to say the wrong word, but it didn't like cripple me, and you didn't try to cripple me or be like, oh, it didn't stop me from having a normal childhood because of that. So that's one thing I do appreciate. And then what you told me when I was old enough to understand everything. So, and now when I look at the scars, it's just like, that's a part of me, and I'm, that's just who I am. I don't, feel no type of way about it. So,
well, you know, even one of your friends, one of their children had to have open heart surgery, and she had I remember I saw her scar, mm-hmm. and I was like, wow, she's gonna have some story to tell. But mm-hmm. she, you know, I know that was a challenge. I could just only imagine what her parents go through mm-hmm. and have to face. And she does a wonderful job, but mm-hmm. that scar is gonna grow with her as well, because mm-hmm. that's how your scars were. They were like little tiny, mm-hmm. and as you grow, they grow. So you mm-hmm. have to tell the story one mm-hmm. day. But I love the way that these young mothers now, they call, mm-hmm. they talk, and they mm-hmm. reach out, and they get support, mm-hmm. and that's important.
Yeah.
And then they see what happens when they see you, or mm-hmm. they see people that have been through it, and they're okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing, to have a support system where, you know, I'm not afraid to tell your story, because mm-hmm. it might help somebody else.
Yeah.
And someone else that's going through, I know the mental challenges that you're going through, because you're scared, mm-hmm. you know, because... Yeah. Anyone having surgery, it's mm-hmm. it's a scary situation.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you, I know we were talking about being a young parent. What did you love about being a young parent?
That I was young and strong enough to mm-hmm. be resilient. Like mm-hmm. You were born, it was freezing cold that year, I remember. And I had a C-section myself, and I had mm-hmm. to go to the hospital every day, walk up those steps and get to the ICU mm-hmm. and sit with you every day, because they at that time, being a young parent, they're watching mm-hmm. everything that you do. I mean, they don't tell you that, but mm-hmm. they monitor how much I came to the hospital, mm-hmm. how much time I spent with you. I had to learn how to clean your, mm-hmm. you had a feeding tube, you had a G-tube, mm-hmm. a gastric tube, you had a port for your mm-hmm. medication. And you could have stayed in the hospital for 90 days, but I was like, no, I'm going to take her home. Mm-hmm. And I took a class. Mm-hmm. I learned how to clean your tubes. I learned how to feed you the correct way. I mm-hmm. knew how to open it up if I needed to.
Yeah.
You know, so I did that part. And you came home with all your little, I call them gadgets and devices. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when it was time to remove them, I took you back to the hospital, and they said I did an excellent job, and I felt good about that. But I had to teach everybody. Mm-hmm. Roll up the G-tube, tape mm-hmm. it to the diaper. Mm-hmm. You know, we figured it out.
Yeah, yeah.
We figured it out.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for sharing. Would you, any advice or anything you want to end with or leave with?
Well, or any questions? Whatever God gives mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. you know, challenge it and face mm-hmm. it. You know, we all want... I learned in life that there is no perfection. You just mm-hmm. have to make what you have and take it and make it work perfectly for you. Mm-hmm. That was my situation. And we were blessed that after you were born, and I remember one thing that your dad said to me was when I was 9 months pregnant, and I said, I was crying, and I was like, what if we have a baby with Down syndrome, or mm-hmm. what if the baby doesn't make it through surgery? And he's like, it doesn't matter what it is. We're mm-hmm. going to love her. Mm-hmm. That's what our job is to do, is to love her regardless and despite anything. We're going to love her first. Mm-hmm. I don't care what my baby looks like. He was like, I don't care if she comes out with no fingers, no toes. Mm-hmm. That's my baby. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you feel like that? I was like, all right, I'm riding with you then. And he made me feel that.
Yeah.
That I don't even think he knew uh-huh. at that moment that he changed my whole perspective. Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to do this. And mm-hmm. he was like, I don't care. And that's our baby. Mm-hmm. That's our baby. So mm-hmm. we're gonna be okay, and we're gonna mm-hmm. be fine. And the most important thing that baby needs is love. Mm-hmm. No matter what she looks like, what she's going through, we have mm-hmm. to love her. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for Daddy to see you with mm-hmm. all the things that were going on. He was scared. Mm-hmm. But once you came home, he was okay with it. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's been your ride or die since mm-hmm. then. So mm-hmm. you know, it didn't. I think it brought us closer together as a family mm-hmm. because we had to do things together. Mm-hmm. And once Daddy got to the point where he was like, all right, I have three children. I got to be to three girls. I think he changed his perspective on fatherhood and being present and mm-hmm. being, he was really helpful. Mm-hmm. And then there were times, you know, we went through our challenges and everything, mm-hmm. but he's a good father. Mm-hmm. And that I loved about being a young parent was that I didn't know I was choosing such a good partner, because that wasn't what I was thinking in life. Mm-hmm. But when we decided to stick and stay, that was one of the best decisions I ever made as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to have a partner that was supportive and with you through the process, that made a difference.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. If he, you know, now that we're here and we can talk about it, the things that I used to be upset about with him, I don't blame him for it anymore because he didn't know better. But he tried to do better. And that's all you can ask for from your partner is just try. And he did try. And then he excelled. And he had a lot going on. Like, I have to be fair to him. Sometimes I can't blame him for anything. We did this together. And he didn't run, you know. And I give him a lot of credit for that because he didn't. And one day we had a really good conversation and he says, no one taught him how to be a dad. And because he didn't have that father figure at that time or in his life. So he was like, I'm just kind of winging it. I'm just trying. And I said, you're doing a good job. And I have to give him that positive reinforcement sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And how was your mental health at the time?
Shaky. Very shaky. I think I just found, we found a letter. I had a journal. When you were about you were going to turn two in February, so it was around August. I needed a break. And I was just overwhelmed with trying to go to school, trying to work, trying to be a mom, trying to find daycare, trying to find babysitting. And those challenges are still happening today to other people, so I get it. So I sent you to Jamaica to live with my grandmother for a little while. So you went to Jamaica in August, and then you left, and then I couldn't focus on school. I couldn't. I was like, oh, I miss my baby. I went to Jamaica in December, and you were having such a good time. You were even forgetting about me. I just put you back on the plane and we came back home. I was like, I'll figure it out. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. And a lot of people do that. And I respect it. My grandmother was so supportive. She just wanted me to finish school. But I needed you. I couldn't have you not knowing that I'm your mom. And that was, you love this lady named Jean. And you were crying for her. I was like, no, you're coming home. And I put you on the plane and we came back and I figured it out. But could I have used therapy at that time? Yes. Was my mental health shaky? Yes. Was my relationship shaky? Yes. But did we make it? Yes.
And how would you say, what was it that you were able to make it? What would you say to about yourself that you were able to make it through?
My
that?
Support system. My best friend stepped up. She's always helped me with babysitting. I got you into daycare programs as soon as I could. I always worked. Sometimes I worked two jobs. I did what I needed to do to get you into a place where you became part of my routine and structure. I was very routine and structure. That, you know, once I got a routine and structure, I stuck to it, and that helped us get to where we are today.
So thank you.
How do you feel about your story? I mean, you know, we always talk about it from my point of view, but what's your point of view? You're the actual person that I'm talking about. How do you feel about what I did?
I think my story is powerful, and I think I feel like it's a blessing that I had two parents like you and Daddy that did everything to make sure I was good and take care of me to get to this point. So I even though it's what happened to me, I think it's powerful that I had parents that got through it, and then I'm able to be here today. And I think my story is amazing. I was a baby, so I don't have any thoughts or feelings about what I was feeling at the time. But growing up, I've felt good. I felt like I was loved. I was cared for, no matter if I had scars or not. I felt like you and Daddy built me with a lot of confidence. And like, you know, y'all really made me feel like you know who you are, you know, like, so nobody could tell me about myself, or like nobody could make fun of me and I'm gonna sit there and be like, let it bother me. I felt like y'all really built me up to be confident, and like nobody could tell you about yourself. And And so I think my journey is amazing. I feel like I am a miracle baby. I am strong. Miracle. Like, if I was to get through that as a baby, I could get through anything. Mm-hmm. I have the scars that remind me of it, and I embrace my scars. I don't feel no type of way. People still love me mm-hmm. with the scars. So, you know, I feel like that's an amazing story, and I like hearing about it because, right. you know, even though I was there, you know, I didn't have any thoughts or feelings about right. it because I was a baby.
Right. It's yeah. true. You know, mm-hmm. you are a miracle. And I was go back to the what my aunt told me mm-hmm. about my one chance and opportunity. Mm-hmm. I remember I used to tell people, people will ask me, are you going to have more children? I wanted to. And then after I got married to Daddy when you were 7, mm-hmm. we were trying to have another baby. Mm-hmm. But I always tell people this part of my story is be careful what you pray for. Because mm-hmm. when you were in the hospital, all I said to God was, God, just give me this one and mm-hmm. I'll ask for no more. Mm-hmm. I just need her to be okay. Mm-hmm. And he definitely heard that prayer. Mm-hmm. I never got blessed with another baby, but I've always had children surrounding mm-hmm. me. And I knew that he gave me this one opportunity. And I think I worked hard mm-hmm. to be thankful to him and say, God, you gave me a gift. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shower it and I'm going to mm-hmm. love her and I'm going to show you what your miracle, I'm going to give it back to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use this story to tell other people, when you have somebody to be responsible for, put in that work mm-hmm. and you're going to get your rewards. Mm-hmm. And that's how I always felt.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that. One thing I'm going to, you know, end this story with about having two parents in the household is that Daddy was always I was the disciplinarian. Mm-hmm. And I know I was rough and I was, you know, sometimes really tough on you. And Daddy was like, that's your bestie. Like, people think that we're close, mm-hmm. but people actually don't know. I think sometimes you're closer to your dad. Like, you guys have great conversations and he's your motivator. He's like a motivational speaker to you. And I remember you coming home one day when somebody called you white. And Daddy was like, are you white? You know you're not white. And I was like, I would have just been like, who did it to you? Let's go talk to them. And Daddy was like, you know who you are. And uh-huh. things like that. And I think that was the balance. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't have to discipline you, but he always instilled certain things in your head mm-hmm. that made you know that you're great no matter mm-hmm. what. Don't listen to what other people say. And that's mm-hmm. that was his thing.
Mm-hmm. And he always planted seeds, even now.
He is a seed planter. He's like the gardener of the house. We say what we want, and mm-hmm. he works in the background to get it done. Yeah. And I couldn't do.
Sometimes I don't want them, and then I'm like, then I mean, somewhere later, just thinking about it, I'm just like,
he plants. Mm-hmm. He plants seeds, and he's I call him our quiet storm. Mm-hmm. He's quietly powerful. He doesn't talk much. But when he says, all he needs to say is one word, and it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
So hopefully we could get him here one day.
One day. But he's out, he's, you know,
he's somewhere in the background.
He's somewhere in the background.
Yeah.
And we know he loves us, and he's not, I tell him all he has to do is sit next to me, and I feel more powerful. He treats me as, we greet each other as king and queen, mm-hmm. and we're the king and queen of our little castle, mm-hmm. and, you know, we try to do the best we can. Mm-hmm. And look at what we did.
Yeah.
I'm proud of us.
I am, too. Look where we are now. Look where we are today. And right. did a great job.
Right.
Yep.
So Daddy's uh-huh. Daddy's big thing is what he's always saying, keep the families together, because he thinks that you being a therapist, that's what he likes. That part of your being a therapist, a family therapist, mm-hmm. he's like, good, we can have somebody that will tell people that if you can work it out and fix it, keep your families together. Mm-hmm. And it's not important for everybody, but he likes that part because mm-hmm. he did it. Mm-hmm. He was ready to run a few times and he's mm-hmm. like, I'm glad I stayed. Mm-hmm. Only because he can see it now. Mm-hmm. But when you're in it, you just want to run. Mm-hmm. So he likes that part of what you've become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being on this
episode. I hope that I help some mothers out there, mm-hmm. and you know, and when they're ready to call in, and mm-hmm. you know, if they ever need that mother part of the advice, I'd mm-hmm. be happy to answer any questions.
That sounds good. So, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Tajay's Therapeutic Talks. And please make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and share. And we will see you in another episode. Thank you.